Our scripture reading this morning is Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 14. And it's going to be verses 1 through 12. That's where the 12 comes from. Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. I'd like to mention before I read God's word and then preach on the particular passage that a person that has been quite meaningful to me in my Christian life and in my ministry, Dr. Warren Wiersbe. Dr. Wiersbe is helping me to the point in this message today that I need to mention his name. It wouldn't be right if I left his name out. He has helped me to understand the passage as well as others, but especially Dr. Wiersbe, and has helped me to put together the message for today. Dr. Warren Wiersbe. Now let's hear the word of God from Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, from the early edition of the New International Version. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is the word of God. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, please continue to be gracious to us here today. Help me to preach correctly your word. Help us all to listen, be interested, and pray to you for our lives to conform to your word for your glory. Heavenly Father, would you please work here this morning and bring honor to yourself. And may the results of today go way beyond today and this week and this year. May they really take root in our lives and stay with us for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dr. Warren Wiersbe has said that lack of unity has always been a problem with God's people. He points out that in the Old Testament, we find civil wars and family fights among the people of God, and almost every local church mentioned in the New Testament had divisions with which to contend. He says, no wonder the psalmist wrote in Psalm 133, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Paul, in our passage from Romans for today, Romans 14, verses 1 through 12, deals with this problem of disunity among God's people. And he deals with it quite simply. He tells us to accept one another, differences and all. And he gives us four reasons why we should. Accept or receive or welcome one another, different convictions, different beliefs, different actions and all. Four, God has accepted us. God is the judge of us. God will sustain and bless everyone who belongs to him. And each believer has the right to decide his or her convictions and beliefs and practices. Let's study those four reasons from Romans chapter 14 for accepting one another. This morning, let's study that. Number one, accept one another because God has accepted us. Because God has accepted all of those who are his in Christ Jesus. If you have a NIV Bible, notice the first two words of Romans 14:1 and then the last five words of Romans 14:3. The first two words of verse 1, accept him, and then the last five words of verse 3, for God has accepted him. The church in Rome was made up of Gentiles who had been saved and Jews who had trusted in the Lord Jesus. Jews who had been saved out of a strict legalistic background that was hard to forget, and Gentiles who had never worried about the things that occupied the lives of the Jews. Generally speaking, those two backgrounds of those two groups of believers caused difficulty in the church at Rome. The different backgrounds divided some of them. Some of the members thought that it was wrong to eat the meat found in Rome because they couldn't be sure it was kosher. And so they only ate vegetables. And they considered it a sin not to observe the Jewish holy days, and so they faithfully kept them. Other members, however, thought that they could eat anything, meat, vegetables, whatever. And they did not believe that they were bound to Old Testament special days. Tension, difficulty, disunity, even division. The one group criticized and judged the other group, and the other group was sure that the first group was not all that spiritual. Paul, no doubt knowing about that particular challenge in the church at Rome, wrote to the believers there, accept one another. Accept one another, differences and all, because God has accepted each one of you. Because God has welcomed each person who belongs to Him. For God has received the very ones you are despising. Look on as I read all of the words of Paul of Romans 14, verses 1 through 3. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Paul writes under the inspiration of God, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Now let me pause. Notice from verse 1, there are areas that will be disputed among believers. The English Standard Version uses the word opinions. In other words, there will be differences of opinion among Christians in reference to certain issues. There will be issues that will be debated. The church at Rome was experiencing one or more of those issues. Let me read. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Romans 14 presents one of the fundamental principles of Christianity. Accept brothers and sisters in Christ. Reason one, accept because God has accepted. Now, before we leave this first reason, let me remind us, James tells us that we are to make sure that we are not simply hearers of the word, but we are doers of the word. And so, from our text, Paul says to us here this morning about our unity, about how to avoid disunity, about the differences of belief and practice we will have with one another. Paul says to us, accept one another, receive one another, for our God has received each one of us. Paul says to us here today, treat one another the way God is treating us. God is not throwing some of us off. God is not rejecting a number of us. He is not despising us. He is welcoming us. Welcome one another. I have a minister friend who was asked to go and pastor a certain church. This church, I hope I remember correctly, required agreement to something like 15 different items in order to be part of that church. In order to be a member of that church, not just essential beliefs like the person and work of Christ, but other things as well. My pastor friend saw red flags. He did not go. And he told me that the church went on to divide, to split a little while later. St. Augustine has written these words: in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. We must not sharply criticize one another and call one another unspiritual over non-essentials, over what the 16th century reformers called matters of indifference. We must not look down on those believers who disagree with us about secondary beliefs. We must not think them unimportant, immature. We are to accept each other as God has accepted us in Jesus Christ. Well, let's move on to our second reason. Another reason from God's Word, Romans 14, for accepting one another: God is the judge of us. We are not the judge of one another. God is the judge of us. See with me verse 4 and verse 10. Verse 4: who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Verse 10: you then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. Paul also said to the believers in Rome, why are you going around judging one another? Because that is what was taking place there. Why are you judging? Why are you despising your brothers? You are not the master. You do not have the right to do this. God is the judge. And one day we will all stand before his judgment seat. Once more, Paul wrote to those who ate meat and did not observe special Old Testament days, you are not to judge those who are not like you. And to those who followed certain diets and holy days, Paul wrote, you are not to look down on those who are not like you. To both of the groups, Paul said, you are not to take the place of God. God is Lord, and he is the one who will judge us all. Warren Wiersbe, Dr. Warren Wiersbe, points out that two of the most famous Christians in the 1800s in England were Charles Spurgeon and Joseph Parker. He says that they were both mighty preachers of the gospel. And early in their ministries, they fellowshipped and even exchanged pulpits. Then they had a disagreement. Spurgeon accused Parker of being unspiritual because Parker attended the theater. Parker would go to the theater, and Spurgeon would say Parker is unspiritual. Interestingly enough, Spurgeon smoked cigars. And many believers went on to condemn that practice in him. Paul says to us this morning, accept one another. Welcome into your heart, and that's actually in that word accept. Welcome into your heart one another. Receive in your heart one another. God is the judge. We are not the master. We will all stand before his judgment seat one day. By the way, are you ready for that judgment seat of the Lord God? You say, by God's grace, my sins are forgiven, and I do have the righteousness of Christ. I am ready. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, your sins are indeed forgiven, and you do have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You are eternally saved. However, at the judgment seat of God, it seems that gracious rewards will also be dispensed to Christians for their faithfulness to God. Twice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul mentions the idea of believers and rewards. Verse 8, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. And then the end of verse 13 and verse 14, the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. It seems that gracious rewards will also be dispensed to Christians for faithfulness to God. At the ancient athletic games, I probably don't need to tell all of you this, but this week we have the Olympic Games begin. At the ancient athletic games, there was a place where the judges stood. And at the end of the contests, the judges gave out the rewards from there. Are you ready for that aspect of God's judgment? How can you prepare for that? One suggestion. Instead of judging other Christians, judge yourself. Instead of taking up your time critiquing other believers, critique your own life. Make sure Jesus Christ is the master of your life every moment of every day in every situation, and let him be the master in the lives of other believers as well. Once more, point two, accept one another, for God is the judge of us. Point three, accept one another. God will sustain everyone who is his. Let me read all of verse 4 for us. All of verse 4. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. We may look down on and reject one another because of disagreements over custom, because of disagreements over ceremony, because of disagreements over belief, over practice, but God does not do that with his people. God is committed to his people, every single one of them. God is committed to spiritually sustaining and blessing his people, every single one of them. Listen again to the strong statement of Paul in the last sentence of verse 4 concerning God and his people. And he, meaning a person belonging to God, and he will stand. The English Standard Version says, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. God does not despise and cast off his children because they think this, because they hold to that, because their ceremony is this, because their custom is that. God blesses his children. Our journey in the Christian life does not depend on the opinions or attitudes of other Christians. It depends upon God, and God will sustain and bless us. A fellow Christian once said, I have learned that God blesses people with whom I disagree. I have learned that too, but that was one of the hard things for me to learn. If this person didn't think as I thought, didn't go about worship as I did, etc., 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 I really struggled with accepting that person 100% in my heart. Let me say it again. God just doesn't bless those Christians who believe as we believe, who think as we think, who do as we do. He blesses all of his children. I have gotten to know in Johnstown some Mennonite, Methodist, Church of the Brethren, Grace Brethren, Baptist, Charismatic, Lutheran Christians. And do you know what? God has blessed them. God is spiritually sustaining them, and God is blessing them. The Puritans. Do you know that the Puritans were opposed to Christmas celebrations? You say, I am not. God blessed the Puritans, and he is blessing you. Do you know that the Puritans were opposed to the use of wedding rings? You say, I am not. You know what? God blessed the Puritans, and he is blessing you. Charles Spurgeon accused Joseph Parker of being unspiritual because Parker attended the theater. God still sustained Joseph Parker and blessed him. Many have condemned Charles Spurgeon for smoking cigars. God still sustained Charles Spurgeon and blessed him. We are to accept one another, welcome one another in our hearts. God will sustain and bless everyone who is his. And then number four, reason number four from our text. Welcome one another, for each believer has the right. Let me say that again. Each believer has the right to decide his or her convictions in secondary matters. And I hope you understand we're talking about secondary non-essential items. Okay, that's what we're talking about today. Each believer has that right. Verse 5 of our text. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. We personally are to come to conclusions of belief before the Lord. We are not to simply swallow what others teach or what others tell us to believe. Each one of us is to stand before God with our prayed over, thought about convictions, and we are to grant that right, actually that responsibility, to every believer. Warren Wiersbe has written, "No Christian has the right to play God in another Christian's life." That's correct. We don't have the right to play God and judge other believers, and we don't have the right to play God and tell other believers what they must hold to. We can talk to, we can reason with, we can counsel, we can advise, we can pray for other believers, but we can't take the place of God in their lives. It was our privilege at Trinity Church in Johnstown to have Dr. John Gerstner as our assistant minister. From the time he left the UP Church until the time the Lord took him to heaven, I had the highest regard for Dr. Gerstner. In fact, it got to the point where I would think, if Dr. Gerstner said it, that settles it. There's no need to do any more thinking in reference to that. He said it, it's true, that settles it. One day, Dr. John Gerstner said to me, "David, if you accept something simply because I said it, that is idolatry." I am making him God. We are not to lead people into idolatry. You hold to what I hold to because I hold to it. No, we are to give them the right, the responsibility to pray over and think through spiritual issues. And we are to accept them because they have that right to pray and think and choose. The 16th century reformers, and what I mean by that is people like Luther and Calvin and Knox, not only taught the inspiration, inerrancy, and sufficiency of the Bible. Now listen, they also insisted upon the believer's right to study the scriptures for themselves. And that was part of the reason Martin Luther wanted to translate the Bible in the language of the people. They have the right to study the scriptures for themselves. Well, lack of unity among believers has been a problem with us Christians through the years, actually through the centuries, through the millennia. We have not done well here in this area of Christianity. And this is not something we want to boast about. Before this day is out, I want to ask you to commit yourself to unity among yourselves here, and, of course, with other true believers as well. I want to ask you before this day is out to commit yourselves afresh to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then by His working through the Holy Spirit to accept your brothers and sisters here, differences and all, and your brothers and sisters outside of this church fellowship too. Why do I say that to you by way of application? Because God has accepted us. Because God is the judge of us. Because God will sustain and bless everyone who is His. And every believer has that right to choose his or her convictions and practices. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, at least some of us spend a lot of time getting our doctrine right. But a relationship with you is both right thinking and right acting, right behaving. And so help us to really pursue accepting one another to your honor and glory. They will see that we are followers of Christ because we love properly one another. Again, may we both think correctly and act correctly, Heavenly Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.